live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
The name of my message today is God is going to do a new thing in 2015. Read this article the other morning that a preacher would come out of his office one Sunday morning and he seen this little boy out staring at a bulletin board on the wall and he seen the boy was really concentrating on that bulletin board. So the pastor walked over, put his arm around him and said, what are you looking at? And he said, what does that mean up there? And up top it said, those who died in service. So the little boy looked back at the bulletin board and then looked back with the pastor with a real serious and troubled look. He said, what service did they die in, the 8 o'clock or the 10 o'clock? So hopefully I won't put you to death here this morning, bore you to death. But I thought that was kind of cute. You know, that's how sometimes kids view church. So anyway, if you'll turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 21. Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 21. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts. The beasts of the fields will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I will give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This is the people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. We find here that God has been ministering to me a lot this week, well, actually the whole last month here, about he wants to do a new thing, is going to do a new thing. It all depends on whether we want to enter in and to what God's going to do. And to do that, you know, we have to stop and think, God done a new thing 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago now, when the Christ came and to the earth. We find that he done a new thing when he sent him to the cross. He done a new thing when he sent him to the tomb. To the cross, you can go ahead and put that up. I got to work with the media here. I talk faster and I think that I'm letting them. You ready? Okay. Let's get the cradle up there, the manger scene first. Okay. To the manger, to the world, it seemed like a helpless infant that you just had to take care of. No real, just another baby. We all get excited over babies, right? To the world, it seems like it's just another child to get excited over. But to the Christian, it was the beginning of a new time for us, because that was our salvation laying in a manger. It was a time when we could start to enter into God's praises, and as the shepherds and the angels did, it was a time when we could start entering in to God's praises for the new thing that God was going to do, new creation or new salvation for all mankind. And in the cross, to the world, all hope was lost. We find that to the world, there was no hope. You know, it was just another man made a proclaim that he didn't follow through. That he just was another big mouth on the earth, so to speak. But not to a Christian. To the Christian, is by his stripes we are healed. It was a beginning of a new thing. And by his blood, we were saved from our sin. We were washed from our sin. But to the world, it was hogwash. Just another man. But in the tomb, we find it that it was empty. All three had the same thing in common. The manger was empty, the cross was empty, and the tomb was empty. But they all three had the same thing in common. It was the beginning of the salvation of man. It was a new beginning that we didn't have to follow the law anymore, but we could have salvation through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a whole new ball game for us, a whole new time. The Lord has led me a whole the month of December here. He's been leading me into reading Leviticus. If you ever want to appreciate your salvation, go to the book of Leviticus and start studying what it took to wash away your sins. Look what it was to live under the law and see what it took to live and to be cleansed from your sins. But to the tomb, it was just a helpless situation to the world. But to the Christian, he's risen again and sits on the right hand of God. He's got the victory over death. He's got the victory over all sin. We can now have eternal life through Christ Jesus, something that the law could never fulfill in our life. It could bring us to conviction. We give of sacrifices and stuff, but it was still not that all we have to do is go in the name of Jesus, accept him as our Lord and Savior. So that was a new thing God was doing 2,000 years ago and still doing today. Each and every year, God does something new. God's showing me he wants to start, not wait until 2015, but he wants to start it today. He wants his church to enter into his new thing. His new thing, I believe, this next year, as we put our faith and our trust in him, he is going to use us, and we're going to see signs and wonders come forth like we've never seen before. But we're going to have to come out of our half-hearted state where we're walking with God. We have to get a joy about serving the Lord. We have to get into a place where it's fun to come to church. It's fun to serve the Lord. It isn't that we get up on Sunday morning and, oh, good God, it's Sunday. We should say, praise God, it's Sunday. I get to go visit with my brothers and sisters. I get to enter into corporate worship. I get to go hear Pastor Otis and Ivy bring forth the music and encourage and strengthen us. It's a time of joy, a time of getting excited. Instead of coming, woe is me. All the cares of the world are on my back. I get up and I cast my cares on Jesus. And I want to tell you something. The anointing you had yesterday is not enough for today. Each day you've got to get that new anointing, each and everything. And then year 2015, God shows me he's going to give us the new wine each and every day if we only will seek him and walk in that newness of his new wine. And that new wine, when the Bible talks about new wine, it's talking about his anointing upon his children. He's talking about a time when he wants to refresh. He wants to do a work in you. It's a time that he wants to use you to win souls, to minister to the sick, minister to the lost, minister to all who are in need. That's right. It was a time, God's doing a new thing in 2015, I believe, that he's showing me as we walk with him and we trust in him, we submerge ourselves in his love and submerge ourselves in faith, submerge ourselves in following him, that we're going to see signs and wonders come like we've never seen before. This church is going to reach a community that we've not even been able to reach. We're going to be able to reach out further than we ever thought we could reach. We're going to see people come in that we never thought could come in. But first, with everything that God gives us, there's a condition. God says, if you will, I will. God gives us a promise. He says, I will do this, but you've got to do something too. God says we've got to come out of our half-hearted state and we've got to enter into his fullness. We've got to seek him daily. We've got to seek his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding to get to where we can use us. He's saying that the time is over for walking half-hearted. He's saying the time, and this is a strong message, but it's something that God has laid on my heart, and I got so excited as God was giving parts of it last week. I would run up during praise and worship and talk to Kathy and give her things I wanted to know if she could put on the screen, and then I'd go back, and then she'd come back and says, what exactly you mean? And we was having a real conversation during the praise and worship last week. And yesterday morning as I got up early and Carol, she has to put up with my all my fits and stuff I have, but the Holy Spirit fell on me yesterday as I was preparing this message, and I couldn't sit. I must have wore a path between the kitchen and the dining room and just praising God and blessing him because of what he was doing and what he was bringing forth in the excitement. I said, I only hope I can bring that excitement out in the message that God has laid on my heart, because it's for the church, and I'm so excited because as we get involved with God, we sell out to God, he's going to do a new thing in us, and it's going to be exciting. We're going to see this house filled. Praise God. Praise God. I believe it's a time when we need to have our worship and our prayer before we come to church. When Pastor Otis is here, we're encouraging him instead of him encouraging us. He just flows with us. He's flowing with what the Spirit's already done in our life. He's flowing. And you know, every morning I pray for the pastor, and Pastor Otis and Ivy as they lead the music. I just see God just moving in them. I am blessed to come to a church where the music wants to praise God more than they want to do their own thing. I'm blessed with a pastor who wants to see the church blessed rather than just be a man greatly used of God or a great man of God. He wants to be a man greatly used of God instead of a great man of God. There's a big difference. We've had too much of people wanting to be great men and great women of God. We need men and women that wants to be good, godly people and wants to lead God's people into righteousness instead of into sin. That we no longer tolerate it. We preach the truth. We talk the truth. We live the truth. We show everybody the love of God instead of our love. We let God's love come forth. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God said, he wants to make a river in your desert. God said, my people's been in the desert too long. My people have quit believing. My people, because of their half-heartedness, has not believed me. I want to deliver them out, but when I'm about to bless them, it's just like a Coke bottle in an ocean or in a lake or a river. You watch it stand straight up, but the waves keeps going. And God's ready to bless us. He's ready to bless us in our desert all once we're over here. And we come back to the center. God's ready to bless us. We're over here. God showed me that so clear here a few years ago. That's the way his people are. They won't be consistent. We aren't being consistent so God can bless us. We ask God for a blessing, but before we even get to, and God gets to the point where he can bless us, we're somewhere else. I don't need it now, God. You're too late. I did it myself. And wondering why you're having problems. Well, anytime we do something of our own, we're going to have problems. I used to like to buy and sell and fix up, or buy and fix up vehicles and sell them, and or just a little bit of everything. Fixed up tractors, made show tractors, done a little bit of everything. And I was always buying and selling, but I didn't always seek God. I thought, boy, that's a good deal. I'm going to buy it. And them good deals turned out to be terrible deals. I usually end up breaking even, even had to lose money just to get rid of the simple thing. Because it was an eyesore. It was a reminder I didn't listen. I didn't seek God. Anytime that we enter into a day without seeking God, I can guarantee you that that day is not going to be the best day of the rest of your life. I get so frustrated if I don't have my time with the Lord. Sometimes because of the time when we start so early, sometimes and maybe I don't plan my time right, but I'll get up. I always get up early, but I'll not get my Bible study time in before the employees start coming. And it just seems like I just got a lot of times I'm getting so anymore, I just send the people out. I go have my Bible time, and then I go out. But if I go out and I don't have that Bible time to study my Bible and just get that personal time with the Lord, I have a terrible day. Until I finally get enough sense to say, hey, Lord, I got to have some time with you. I'll get everybody going, and then I'll go out to my truck. I'll go get supplies or whatever, and I'll plug in my praise worship. And I can't turn my day around, but I can turn my attitude around. And when I turn my attitude around, then I can see God work once again, and he'll turn my day around. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Put up the new wineskin. The wineskin. Wait just a second here. Praise God. Oh, you're missing it? Okay. Okay, Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. Get the right page myself here. It says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk clothes on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tears are made worse. Nor do they put new wine in an old wineskin, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but they are put in new wine and new wineskins, and both are preserved. You know, as God's doing a new thing, he's been showing me that we're going to have to put off the old things. Just like the new wineskin, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin because it'll burst. Because of all the activation and the wine juice turned into wine, it will cause the wineskin to burst. You can't take a piece of garment, and you ladies know this better than I do, you can't take a new piece of material and put it on an old pair of jeans because it will rip. It will, when it shrinks, it will just rip out more of where you are trying to patch. That's the way it is. We cannot put the new anointing that God wants to give us in an old setting because of the simple fact it isn't going to work. We aren't going to flow where God wants us. So we have to let go of the old to get the new. And as we let go of the old and get the new, we're going to see that God's going to do a work in us. He's going to prepare our hearts. Excuse me here. He's going to prepare our hearts to where we can be that witness he wants us to be. We're going to see that the signs and wonders come in that he is talking about in his word. I've been praying for all year, ever since about a year ago at this time. I've been asking God, why are we not seeing the signs and wonders like we ought to? You said greater signs, these signs and wonders to follow you, and even greater. I said, Lord, why are we not seeing it like we should? We're seeing trickle, but we, you know, God's saying that each and every one of you should be seeing signs of wonders. He didn't say, well, it's just the pastors, it's just the preachers, it's just the deacons, it's just the elders, or it's just certain people. He's not a respecter of person. He said, we shall receive, or we shall see signs and wonders follow us. That means each and every one of you has the anointing. If you seek God, you can get the anointing that you can, when you're praying for people, that you'll see them healed. You'll see them get right. You'll see them get saved. You'll see their mental condition change if it's a mental condition. And you can see their spiritual condition change. You'll see their physical, you'll see their financial change just as well as everything, everyone else. God's wanting to do a new thing. And he's doing a new thing. He's going to do a new thing in 2015 with or without us. Make no mistake. Yes, sir. You hold the cards, so to speak. That's maybe not a good terminology to use because some people don't believe in cards. But anyway, you hold your future with God. You hold where you see a new thing coming forth with God, or you don't. If you want to hold on tight to the old, you are not going to get the new. You only get a trickle. That's all you're going to get is a trickle. How many of us know, or anyway, I'm not, you're not satisfied with just a trickle from God. I want all God's got for me. I want it, and I know if he gave me everything, I couldn't contain it, but I want all I can contain. I want to be bubbling over, running over. I want to have so much joy, so much compassion for people, and so much wanting to help people that they just touch me and the anointing of God drops off on them and they start getting healed. That's what my wish is for everybody, or my prayer is for everybody in here. Because God desires it. He desires each and every one of us to be so sold out to him that we see God's love. And we see it coming forth that people don't see us, but they see Jesus in us. And that's my heart's desire, is they don't see Lee Close. Lee Close will fail everybody every time. But God coming through Lee Close makes a big difference. They'll see the love of God. They'll see that perfect love. They'll see that love coming forth that touches them. They'll see that help coming forth that only God can send out of you. You know, I praise God. Sometimes I have people tell me when I've been witnessing to them and stuff, and I think, well, Lord, I don't really feel like I really helped them here. And they'll call me on the phone, and they'll say, well, you helped me so much. They said, well, everything you said. And I think, well, what did I say to help them? You know, I really, you know, when the Holy Spirit falls, you don't always know what you're telling somebody. And then they may remind you or they may not. But I'm sitting there sometimes thinking, what exactly did I tell them that helped them? Except for the Word of God. That's all you need to tell them is the Word of God. That's their help right there. This old car of mine may think it knows how to help people, but it doesn't. It usually puts them in more bondage. But when I sell out to God and let the Spirit speak through me, that's when people are helped. Because it isn't Lee, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through me. God wants to use each and every one here. Not just wait until 2015, because God's not a procrastinator. He wants to start it today. I believe God wants to do healings here today. I think there's people in here that's got things that they need to get delivered of. I believe there's people in here that needs God's touch today. He don't want to wait till 2015. He's got you in His house today for a purpose. He wants to set you free today. Today is the day of your salvation. Praise God. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Now, all these here I've preached many messages out of over the year. And every time I preach, God gives me a different message on them. Every time. It's not like them's the only verses in the Bible, but that's the one He seems to use a lot through me to minister. But He gives me so many messages out of these, and they're never quite the same. He always does something new. And I praise God because that's what I want. I don't want to give somebody a stale message. I want to give them what's fresh off of the grill of God. You know, that's what. I like fresh meat off the grill. And I know people don't need used meat or cold meat or yesterday's meat. They need what God got for them today. And God's got a blessing for you today. He's calling you today. He wants you to come closer today. He don't want you to wait till tomorrow. He don't want you to wait till 2015. But He wants you to draw nigh to Him today. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And He wants to have control of it. Excuse me. Now Peter, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, from whom they lay daily at the gate and of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who see Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." We may not have anything to give to people. We may not have the silver and gold, but we can give everyone we meet Jesus Christ. We can give them a piece of what God's message is, and we can sow the seed each and every person that we touch. Excuse me. But Peter and John were doing a new thing. Excuse me. Thank you. I've been having a little bit of a fighting off a cough here, so if you excuse me just a minute. But Peter and John was entering into a new thing that God had led them into. They were entering into ministering and seeing signs and wonders follow. And this is just, and God, as I was reading this yesterday, I got all excited because He says, that was over almost 2,000 years ago again. I'm wanting to do a new thing today. I don't want you to remember and walk in what you got yesterday. I want you to walk in a new thing today. A new thing I want to do with you today, He wants to do for you. He wants you to get all excited. He wants you to seek Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being. And He took him by that right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up, walking, entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, he didn't really mean that. He really meant to say he went crawling, dragging. Oh, man, do you see what just got happened to me? Did you see? You know, so I received my I don't have to crawl anymore. I don't have to depend on somebody else. I got strength in my legs. You know, see? Is that the way we would contain it if God touched us? God wants to touch each one of you the same way. But no, it said, what? He went walking and leaping and praising God. That's what it said. It didn't say he went, oh, woe is me. Look how long I've laid there. It's finally time God did something. Now, I've heard people say that. He said, look what has happened to me. He went into the temple because he knew, they all knew that he had been this way from birth. He knew that they knew that there was no hope for him in the natural. He knew that they would have to know that something miraculously touched him. And it did. God wants to do the same thing today. He wants to set you free of whatever thing that's bonding, put you in bondage. He wants to get excited about serving him again. You know, I get excited watching young Christians in the Lord because they haven't got religious yet. Hello. Well, God saved me 25 years ago. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. This is my seat. I'm going to sit right here. He'll bless me. If I move to another seat, he ain't going to bless me. Hello. Hello. God's wanting to do a new thing today. He isn't wanting to wait till 2015. He's going to do it in 2015, but he wants to start it today.
Yes, sir.
He wants to set you free today from whatever is of ailing you. He said he wants to make rivers in our desert. Mm-hmm. He's tired of seeing his desert or his church in the desert. Dry. That's the reason why I brought out the message about there, the joke about the little boy asked what service it was. A lot of his churches I've been in. Hello. You wasn't wondering where the men were with the stretchers. When it comes to singing, you watch people mouth it, but they never sang it. And most of all, their heart wasn't in it. They was looking at their watches to see how quick it was going to be over so they could go to McDonald's or wherever they needed to go. Go to the golf course or wherever. But he said he wants to make a river in our desert. And another thing that Pastor Otis was bringing out there about tithing. God said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, he said, bring your tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. And verse 11 talks about, and this is kind of paraphrasing it, but verse 11, it talks about, I will rebuke the devourer for you. I will rebuke the devourer. He will rebuke. If we pay our tithes, God said, as we're obedient, he will rebuke that which is coming against us. The devil has sent for evil against you. God's going to rebuke it.
Yes,
he's going to bind it, and you're not going to receive it.
Yes.
But you have to do your part,
yes,
as Pastor Otis said.
Yes, sir.
I'm not up here to preach on tithes, but I'm up here to reinforce what the pastor said. See, everything is up to us. And with God doing a new thing this year, it's up to us. Do we want to enter into it? Do we want to take it in? Do we want to be a part, or do we want to be a wallflower? And watch everything going on around us and never be able to take a part of it. God's wanting to do a new thing in us. But we have to get serious with God. We can no longer just half-heartedly serve God. And I'm not trying to put anybody down, but I'm telling you, God's saying the church has walked lukewarm too long.
Yes, sir.
Yes, come on.
Yes, sir.
And if you want to get into what he's doing, you're going to have to come out. You're going to have to get dedicated to the Lord. You're going to have to get serious about serving God. And you're going to have to give him your all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're going to have to come to a point where God's more important than that ball game.
Come on, sir.
God's more important than that golf course.
Yes, sir.
He's more important than the work.
Yes, sir.
I can get trapped up in work. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I don't know when to quit because I keep seeing things that need to be done yet. But God says, enough. Seek me while there is time, the word says. There may be a time you may not be able to seek God with a freedom. Look at our brothers and sisters around the world. They wish they had what we had, but yet we take what we have for granted, the freedom, and we just half-heartedly serve God. They got to believe God, excuse me, wholehearted, because if they don't, they could lose their life. And here in America, the church is starting to get a little persecution, and I'm seeing a lot of Christians wiggle. I'm seeing a lot of them squirm. I see a lot of them, I don't know if I really want to go that far. I'd rather have sit here and not have any turmoil come my way. And that's the wallflower. You just slap them up against the wall. Ornaments on the wall. Now, it might be harsh, sound harsh, but I'm telling you, it's time we get real. I praise God we got a pastor that preaches the word and he doesn't back down. I come alongside, just like Brother Jim said there last week, I come alongside him and hold his hands up because he's a man of God and he wants to see God high and lifted up more than he wants to see anything else. He wants to see his church of people. He wants to see his congregation blessed spiritually, physically, and financially. That's his heart's desire. He wants all that God has for you. And so do I. But to do that, we got to do some changing. You know, we should be getting up on Sunday morning. I'm not trying to tell you how to live, but I'm going to tell you how to live here. Anyway, on Sunday morning, we should be getting up, and long before we ever get to this church, we should have already entered into praise and worship. We should already be here, and when we get here, and it's such a joy to come and worship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord in corporate worship, that God immediately starts falling with Pastor Otis and Pastor Otis and Ivy, and the music don't have to build us up. We're already built up. We just enter right into the presence of God.
Yes, sir.
And we see him immediately start meeting people's needs. We should come to church, and people's heard me say this before. This is something God has laid on me, and my wife probably gets so tired of hearing me say it, but I see it. We should be coming to church to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters. We should come to be a blessing, first of all, to God, and blessings to our brothers and sisters. And if everybody come with that attitude, how would we leave? There used to be a song that said, "You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name." And when we enter into that spirit, we will leave different than we came. All too often, you look on the outside, and I'm there again. I'm not trying to put anybody down. But if you're standing on the outside looking at people coming out of the church, you wonder, did they get filled? Did they get touched today? They sure don't look like it. There again, please don't think I'm putting people down. I'm just telling you what I see as I travel around to churches and I preached in churches. And of course, that's not this church. But anyway. Anyway, there's some days you don't feel like praising God. There's some days you don't feel like getting up and seeking God. You're tired. You got all kinds of excuses. But that's the days you got to block the devil's eye and say, I don't move by feelings, but I move by the Spirit of God. When you start going by the moving by the Spirit of God, you'll see your whole attitude change.
Yes, yes.
But I just want to ask everybody this morning, no hands, just answer this yourself right where you're sitting. But when was the last time that you went walking and leaping and praising God? When was the last time? When was the last time you come running through them church doors asking the pastor, "What can I do today?" And the pastor just goes, "Which one of these items you want to do?" I'm a firm believer If you want to be blessed by God, start doing helping the pastor. Start not that he expects you to do it, but because your love for God, you want to take that burden off the pastor and his wife. You want to see the church of God all taken care of. You want to see when people come in, they're blessed because they just feel the love of God when they come through them doors. They're blessed because they feel God's presence because the people's got a heart to serve God. That's what we need more than anything in the Church of America today. It's not what kind of car we drive, what kind of clothes we wear, what our position is in the church, but it's whether God is in you and God's leading you. That will make the difference of what people think of your church when they feel that love of God. Just God is just dealing so deep with my heart on these things, and He's just keeps laying on my heart. You got to get rid of the old to put on the new. You got to let go of yesterday's so God can take care of you today. He can give you that new wine today. As long as you let go of yesterday and you're ready to receive the new wine, the new anointing today, you're going to see God keep moving in your life. You're going to start seeing the signs and wonders. You're going to start seeing that you're part of the body of Christ. And you know the reason why a lot of people don't feel part of the body of Christ? Because they never enter in. They never enter in. I'm a firm believer. I started to say this a while ago. I'm a firm believer that the pastor should have to be drawing lotteries, so to speak. Now, I better clarify that because I don't believe in gambling. But there should be so many people wanting to do so many jobs in the church, the pastor has to draw names to see who gets to do this because he's got more workers than he's got jobs. That'd be a different church. Praise God. Like I say, please don't think that I'm trying to condemn anybody. I've walked half-hearted, and God's had to correct me from time to time. Anytime we start letting our guard down and we don't seek God like we did yesterday and even seek Him more today, we're starting into a half-hearted situation. There's no standing still with God. Either you're going forward or you're going backwards. There's no standing still. People say, well, I just believe I'll just be here for a little while and later on I'll let God move me elsewhere. You're not serving God. What you're saying is you're in a lukewarm state and you're not sure and you're a situation to where everything's going to offend you. You're going to be more of a bother to God than you are a help. God said, He'd rather if you be lukewarm or rather for you be hot or cold than lukewarm. You know why? Most of the problems in the church come from lukewarm people. People that just want one foot with God, one foot in the world, and they just keep slipping like this. I won't go too far, I'll rip my pants. And not have a mountain, I'll be able to get back up. But that's what happened. We don't get fully committed to what God wants. We don't get fully committed to letting God use us in the fullness of what He wants us to use. I think that's a word. I don't know, but you'll learn new English words when I preach. They won't be in the English book, but they'll be different words. Anyway, God is just totally tired of His church wandering in the desert. He got tired of the people with the people of Israel were wandering in the desert for 40 years. But it was their choice. It was their choice. He provided ways out. But because of their unbelief, they had to be in the wilderness. It's because of our unbelief we're wandering in the desert now. It's because we're wandering in the dryness because we aren't fully committed to what God wants us to be. When we get fully committed, the rivers will start flowing. He'll open His windows of heaven. He'll open them gates of heaven. And the living water will start flowing once again, no matter what's going around. Even if your situation don't change, your attitude will change, and you'll fall in love with God all over again. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Turn back here to Isaiah here. I had something here I wanted to expound on just a minute. He said, He'll put water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, to my chosen. He said, he wants to give you, his chosen, you here today, and all the Christians around the world, he wants to give you fresh water. He wants to give you fresh wine. He wants to give you fresh anointing so that you can run that race. Like I say, it may not change your situation, but it'll change your attitude and you'll get out of the situation. God will give you the wisdom. When you get that wisdom from God and you renew your life with God, he's going to, you know, I've used to hear, well, just give it all to Jesus and everything will be okay. Well, I agree with that, but he usually requires you to do something, okay? I used to say, you know, you just need to give your life to Jesus and everything will be all right. And they were still in the same mess. They because people thought that when you did that, Jesus was just going to take all this mess away from you. And it caused a lot of people to stumble. It caused them not to want to believe in Jesus because of the simple fact. People had told them this all this time, and they seen it didn't happen. So they thought, well, that's a myth. Jesus will be with you in the rose garden, but you grab a hold of one of them roses, you're going to get thorned. Hello? They're beautiful, but you reach out and grab one, you're going to get a thorn. And then you're going to say, help me, Jesus. Because one of them thorns hurt. And that's the way it is. He said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But to do that, you have to be committed. Jesus is wanting, or God's wanting to do a new thing this year. He wants us to start today. Pastor, you want to come up? But for in order for him to do it, we've got to do some changing in our life. We've got to seek him like we've never sought before. We've got to come out of a half-hearted state and enter into his fullness. We've got to seek him like we never sought. We need to walk with him like we never walked. We need to show love to his people like we've never showed before. Because of his fresh anointing in our life, we can do this. Like I say, this morning here, are you wanting to enter into God's fullness? You want to enter into the new thing that God wants to do here today in 2015? And are we ready to get rid of the old things so God can do a new thing in our life? Then, like I say, the anointing we had yesterday will start us out today. But if we want to see God's fullness today, we got to seek his new anointing today. We got to seek him today because what he done yesterday was for yesterday. He wants to do a new thing in your life today. He wants to continue seeing you grow. Shall we stand? With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here this morning that says, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? I'd like to come to know him this morning. I'd like to receive him that I can have that newness and that new thing that God's going to do in our lives this next year. Praise God. Is there someone here that's dealing so much with things of the past that you just can't get free from them? God said today's the day you can be set free. Or maybe you're having mental things that just keeps you, that you can't clear your mind of. God wants to heal you here today. Or maybe you just need a healing from some part of your body. God wants to heal you today. Maybe you got a financial need that you just are really struggling with. God says he's going to put water in the desert, but today's the day you've got to set it straight. Today's the day you've got to seek him and let him do a work in your life today. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forth. If there's anybody here who would like to come forth for prayer, you want to see God do a work in your life, and I believe he wants to do it today, but it's up to you. I can't do it. I'm only here to pray for you. The prayer team, if they'll come up, I'll let them pray for you. But God wants for you to have that newness today. He wants you to have that fullness that he has for you today. He don't want to wait till 2015, because yeah, even though he's going to do a work in 2015, he wants to start today, because God's not a procrastinator. He's right here. He just wants you to reach out to him this morning. I'm going to pray here, and then you can be dismissed. And anybody wants to come for prayer, please come up, because God wants to do a work here this morning in those who are reaching out to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every one here. We thank you for our visitors. We thank you for each and every one who here today that they are going to go forth with you, Lord. We thank you. We claim it in the name of Jesus. We confess it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for what's coming forth here. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give those who need prayer this morning, that they'll have a boldness to come and receive prayer from these prayer warriors. And Lord, we'll see them set free from whatever's bothering them. And Lord, be with each and everybody this week as we're winding down 2014 and getting ready to start 2015, that Lord, that you will bless them. And Lord, minister to them. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one, and keep them safe in Jesus' name. And amen. Praise God. You're dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.